With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss Structure Accountability Results. They've got a new location in Alexandria. They are taking appointments and helping people's lives right now. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop, broadcasting live from the MedStar Capital's Iceplex. EB is bundled up, but it's actually a little warmer than you expected.
It's in it's probably in the mid-60s. That might be high. Maybe low 60s.
Could be high, yeah.
If it was this temperature in your house, you'd be livid. Although it probably is this way in Lurch's house.
Right.
The way he keeps it.
Yeah. Well, we're getting to that point.
It was a little warm last night. Going to be joined by Alan May in about 15 minutes to talk about the Capitals. Have you bought your tickets for the first game? When they're raising the banner?
I have not. I've inquired
about it a lot.
So you're not
buying tickets. You're
talking about JP. We've been in this business for how many years, and you're asking me about buying tickets?
But you bought all this Capitals gear. You're the biggest Caps fan amongst the group. You would think no matter what, you'd want to go to the game.
Yeah, he wants a hook job.
I actually think I have a conflict. My daughter has a field hockey game the same night, so that kind of hurts a little bit as far as attending the game. But I will be certainly watching on NBC Sports Washington where they raise the Stanley Cup banner.
It's going to be amazing.
Thank you. It is going to be amazing.
I have a conflict for the Skins game this week. So my kid has a lacrosse game that...
It's on NBC Sports. Because it's an ad. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Sorry, everybody. It's NBC Sports.
That's fine. It's in the family.
Yes.
It's in the family.
Of course it is. Of course.
Yeah, it's going to kill me on Sunday just because I won't be able to talk to anybody. You forget about social media. It's easy to keep your phone off, turn it off, not look. It really is. But everyone in town will be they're at games, they listen.
Especially
they'll be talking.
Stand by yourself.
Yeah, they're going to be listening to the Redskins.
Hey, did you hear the score?
Yeah, yeah.
Especially because they're
1-0. They're going to be listening to the Redskins drilling the Colts. I'm telling you, I'm getting this vibe where the Redskins are just
That's just a tingle play. The tingle plays are awful.
They're going to pound the Colts. I'm telling you, you heard it here first.
Right.
Redskins in a laugher.
A laugher.
By the way,
He's very confident.
It
is a Redskins Friday on the Junkies, presented by the one and only sportsbook, Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Cakes, you understand
that
T.Y. Hilton's been to five Pro Bowls, right?
That's fine.
So you think we'll bottle him up? That won't be an issue.
He'll
get Josh Norman
He'll
for.
Get some.
Josh Norman's okay.
You know what? He'll get some.
He's better than okay.
You know what? Ryan Grant, he'll have eight catches for like 56 yards and be basically a non-factor. Their running game will do nothing. The Redskins will score one defensive touchdown. I'm seeing like a 31-13 final.
I don't see that at all.
You won't even be sweating it, EB. Telling you.
Right. By the way,
you
have Ryan Grant on a basically 130 catch pace.
Well, I mean,
he had eight catches in week one. Are you going to give another eight catches this week?
That might be a little high, but
The Colts
can't run the ball.
8 yards per catch.
So that is their running. That's their de facto running game is throwing short passes.
But that volume's absurd for Ryan Grant.
Well, I mean, if
you think it's sustainable,
if he could have 80.
If he's the second fiddle.
What if he's got 80?
Wide receiver, I think, is respectable.
Here's the saying that he's got him going for 128
you know
in
that's
this
not
offense. It's going to be Hilton. It's going to be Doyle. Ebron will catch some touchdowns here and there, but he's not a high volume receiver.
And the rookie who we mentioned before.
And Nyheim Hines, he'll catch some balls out of the backfield. I'm telling you that. It's set. The table's set for Ryan Grant to catch 60, 70 balls in this offense.
All right, can I book your play?
I know. I was thinking, Cakes, why don't you put your money where your mouth is?
They're laying
Maybe.
Six.
I'll think about it.
He's so confident.
I am confident.
Well, why don't you put $20 on it?
20? 20 is very high.
Cakes.
Come on. I basically max out at $5 bets.
All right. I'll take your $5 bet.
All right, we'll see. Right.
You won't bet your parking fee.
Parking fee here?
Yeah.
It's $1.
It's like $1.
Oh, I thought it was like $5.
No, you get
an hour.
If it's $5, I'm expensing it.
You won't expense the dollar.
By the way, I'll let the dollar fly, but five, yeah,
it is. It is a little bit dizzying and discombobulating driving up all. I mean, you're driving up a corkscrew to get here to MedStar Capital's Iceplex to get all the way up on the seventh or eighth level. It's a lot of driving.
That's how a
in
lot
circles.
Of parking garage work takes.
Yeah, not most of them. Not most of them do the old corkscrew.
A lot of them have the corkscrew.
Yeah, not ones that I park in.
You have to take a break halfway through.
I'm very regimented where I park.
I was kind of tempted. I don't know if you were doing the same thing. So when you drive here, what Cakes is talking about, if you've ever driven here to the Caps, whatever, MedStar Capital's Iceplex, formerly known as Kettler.
Good branding, Eddie. I like it.
If we could just look straight ahead. Yeah. I was doing that before. The guys from NBC Sports Washington are just laughing because we can't remember the name.
It's fine.
Well, just look anywhere.
Where is it? Oh, it's right behind you guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not. You're right. It should be looking there. But I was tempted because you come up this corkscrew as Cakes is talking about.
Yep.
I was tempted. You notice you don't really have to turn your wheel. I was tempted. Now, I am driving like a car that's very expensive. I was tempted to just slam the gas and see how fast I could go up the thing.
I wouldn't do that. But
I was kind of each level I was going a little bit faster because there's no turning it. Like you just turn it and you hold it and you're just doing a circle. You weren't tempted to kind of goose it a little bit?
If you want to crash your Beamer here at the parking garage, more
Mike Walker would be bitter.
I like how Bickle goes, I got a very expensive car.
Well, I mean, if I had a hoopty, I would probably be a little bit more willing to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm tempted to goose it.
Right.
You're not at all when you're driving up that thing?
No, I wasn't tempted.
I was just trying to stay awake.
I'd love it if he crashed his Frank.
That would be great.
My Frank Beamer?
Yes. Yeah. Hey, yesterday was a big day for Pete Medhurst.
Big day for Pete.
Medhurst, Pete on Sports, was the PA announcer at the Nats game, which, by the way, I think yesterday he lamented beforehand. He was like, just hopefully he doesn't go into extra innings. Now, it was only one.
Right.
But it was a little bit of a longer game. Pete, are you there?
3 hours and 46 minutes of baseball game yesterday.
Hey, Pedro. What's up, buddy?
So explain to people.
That cut your hourly rate. I know we're not going to get all into your pockets like Cakes wants to, but you were making some money, but it was set regardless of the amount of innings.
By the way,
speaking of
making money, Pedro, let's get to the most important thing. Did you get a 50-50
there
ticket?
There was not one there yesterday because makeup game. And I mean, look, the whole reason I was doing the PA is because the regular PA guy, who never misses a game, is a school teacher by day and obviously didn't plan for this game showing up the way it did a week ago. So,
Pedro, let me ask a question.
Pedro, why didn't they give Defoe an error in the 10th on Murphy's ball?
I thought it was. Originally, they did. They scored it an error, and then inexplicably during the inning, changed it to an infield hit, thought was
a
terrible.
He booted it. It was an error.
Terrible scoring.
I guarantee if I had taken the Cubs in that game on my picks,
he fields it cleanly. Right.
They get out of the inning.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
I'm wondering, does Valdez have audio? Is there any way that Valdez has audio? No, because that's not on the radio, the PA, right? If we don't have audio of him from yesterday, can we hear Pete just do one or two announcements? I want to hear like how Pete would announce. Because I heard also when he called the sixth, whatever it is, the president's race, that Pete called it like a horse race.
Right.
Yes, that and the Norfolk Southern horsepower event as well that they have on the big screen. So it was just like doing a horse race, which was kind of in my wheelhouse.
That's perfect.
Really good. And in the president's race, we had a photo finish, but when you're doing horses, you're beside them so you can see them.
Yeah.
In the PA booth, they're coming right at you. So, you know.
You can't tell.
It's hard to tell, but.
Did you call it correctly?
Yes, George won by a nostril hair over Teddy.
Nice. Oh, yeah. All
right, Teddy always gets hosed.
So let me hear you introduce Trey Turner, you know, whatever. Your bit.
You know, batting second, shortstop number 7, Trey Turner.
Now, do people respond? No, they're playing the music, right? Because the guys have their walk-up songs.
People
like, how
clap,
does that all work?
Yeah, people clap. What was interesting yesterday was every time I introduced a Cubs batter, everybody's like, yeah!
Really?
Oh, Cubs fans.
So many Cubs fans out, right?
You know, I mean, and obviously, you know, they're one of the brand names in baseball that they have people who turn out in just about every ballpark across the country.
Now, what was the most difficult part of doing that, Pete?
Yesterday, the pregame. There's no doubt about it. It's regimented. It's got to be done quickly.
So what do you do in the pregame? I don't even know what you do.
Well, that's when you introduce the people who are sponsors, doing the first pitch. Yesterday, There was a salute to fallen heroes, which has become a staple of the Nationals. And you're dealing with so many names, but you're dealing with families that are there to represent these people. So if you botch their name, you just want to walk out of the booth and never come back. So and you've got to keep everything on time. It's regimented. And that was the most nerve-wracking part to me yesterday, was getting through all of that script. Because once the game starts, it's just introducing batters, pitchers.
Who was the most difficult name you had to pronounce yesterday, as far as the game goes?
Nobody. Nobody on either team had a really tough name.
So you were
on
good.
Either side. Yeah, I mean, I looked at both rosters. From that standpoint, I felt like I was in great shape in terms of that. So
right.
Did you have fun?
Yeah, it was great. And, I mean, look, I mean, the Nationals, credit to Dave London and those folks over there, they make it incredibly easy for you not to mess up. You have a person who's in the booth with you.
Right.
Believe it or not, the biggest problem we had yesterday was home plate umpire Pat Hoberg, when relief pitchers would come into the game. And Joe Maddon was bringing in relief pitchers, you know, the shuttle service at a park and ride. It was unbelievable, because sometimes he just wouldn't point. So you're at the mercy of, well, did he point? Is technically that player in the game? Because you can't announce it until the umpire, you know, really says it. Because once you announce it, then a team may want to make a counter move. So you can't screw it up from that standpoint. So the girl in the booth with me, you know, we're both sitting there waiting. And sometimes Pat Hoberg wouldn't necessarily be clear about when he was pointing to bring those relief pitchers in the game. That is also a very important part. Because there's a big plaque in the booth that says, informing the public, the media, the teams of those types of things is a really big deal. But the Nationals had so many folks over there in that room. They just made it incredibly easy for me yesterday.
Did you get any free food out of it, Pete?
Absolutely. They fed me.
There you go.
Nice.
Why wouldn't they? All right. Congrats, Pete.
Congrats, buddy.
You think you'll do it again?
Maybe if there's a makeup game that's unplanned, because that guy, Jerome, just doesn't miss any game.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, hey, I'm available, radio, TV, PA. I'll even do the concessionaires.
He'll do your birthday party.
Hot dogs.
You can umpire.
Get your hot dogs here.
You could umpire if one of the umpires got hurt.
Probably could line the fields.
I could do that.
Literally, Pete could do all the jobs.
I have done that before.
He's so talented.
He is.
God, you're so talented.
All right,
Pete.
Thank you, Pete.
Bye-bye.
All right, coming up next as we broadcast live from the MedStar Capitals Iceplex, Washington Capitals. Alan May, I see him out there. I did see him.
He went downstairs.
All right.
We were boring.
He's probably doing push-ups before he comes up here.
Alan May
will join us next on The Fan. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live from MedStar Capital's Iceplex. It's actually a Football Friday, presented by the one and only Sportsbook Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. But we're going to start talking a little puck. Alan May's here, and he was talking about it during the break. Alan May, hockey analyst for NBC Sports Washington, was talking about during the break that he's used to having a longer summer.
Yeah.
But it's nice having a shorter summer.
Because the Caps won the Stanley Cup.
I've always wanted to work into June, and that's what people would ask me. How are the Caps going to do this year? And the answer of not answering that question is, I want to have a work in June. Mm. And this year I worked right to the last day of June, and then I was off. And as soon as I got back from the family vacation, the season is here. And it seems like I really didn't have much of an off season. But I'm happy. I'm very grateful for it. It was amazing.
When you look back at that run, what are some of the things that jump out at you? Maybe some of the turning points? We obviously know some of these things, like the save and all that in the playoffs. What about in the regular season as this was building?
Well, I felt it April 1st in Pittsburgh, on the night that Ovi played his 1,000th game. And I told everyone after that game, the Caps went into Pittsburgh, and they played a different style, finally. Mm. They weren't trying to play smash mouth. They weren't trying to kill Crosby. They played the most disciplined game I'd seen in forever out of this team. And there was a real plan, and there was a team commitment from every single guy on the ice. And I told all the guys, actually, I told Tarek and Rob, the Caps are going to win the Cup. Mm. And I felt it strongly.
What was the record at that point?
Oh, I can't remember.
Remember-ish?
No, I can't remember. You know, there's so many numbers that float to your head down that stretch.
Yeah.
But there was just something about that night. And it was the first time in all the years, the 10 years that I've been here, that they actually played the Penguins smart, like the right way the entire time, because I was getting so tired of watching them try to kill the Penguins every game and not play intelligent because they're such a fast team. And that was a game where the smarts came out and the discipline was there from everyone, and Ovi led the way with Kuznetsov that night. They were so disciplined in their positioning.
Did Alan May ever cry along the way? I'm wondering, because 10 years as a broadcaster,
You played with the Washington Capitals when they finally win it.
I think admitted that he did. I think you told us that you did.
Well, it was caught on camera. It was a little overwhelming, so it was amazing. You know, I get pissed off when they lose. I'm just right. like everyone else.
Yeah, like us.
Because I want them to do well. I want them to be their best. And I've always felt for Ovi and Nick and Braden that they were treated unfairly in the media, in North American media. I think all the clickbait that's out there. I wanted those guys to persevere, and I was tired of getting in arguments, you know, right. with people saying things about Ovi that I know aren't true. And, you know, broadcasters, especially when we're up in Canada in the press meal before the game, these guys say things, and it upsets
me. It hurts you.
it comes almost physical violence. You right. know?
What about the national guys that we see? Did those guys irk you?
Emmerich and guys like that.
I go out and have beers with those guys after games, and we talk for real. And they all love Ovi. And, you know, it might seem like Mike Milbury doesn't, but Mike Milbury has incredible things to say about Ovi when you're sitting around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've got questions that are asked of you, and there's sometimes you're put in a bad spot on how you answer that question. So
you never thought the national guys were particularly tough on him?
You know what? I look at that some nights because if you look at your Twitter accounts and you see everyone's upset, everyone thinks they're against their team every time. Even the people in Pittsburgh, and, you know, the joke is that, you know, that's Pittsburgh Station and the national one. And I just think that, you know, people get overwhelmed and everyone's so quick to tap out a few words on
Twitter. Everybody wants to be offended immediately.
That's why I shut my Twitter off basically in the summer. Mm-hmm. And I have another Twitter account that's just full of naked women and gambling.
You're like Lurch. He never admits to that one.
He's got the burner account.
That's why we get along.
Yeah. Alan, you use the word persevere. That's the perfect word, I think, to encapsulate what this Caps team did during the playoff run. They trailed in every single series. They were down 0-2 to the Blue Jackets. I was losing faith at that point. They trailed to the Penguins. They were down 3-2 to the Lightning, and then they came out. I remember that game 6. They were hitting another level like I'd never seen them before. So this team persevered and made it all the way to the end, won the Stanley Cup, and I would expect more of that. You know, Reardon in, Trotz out. It seems like a smooth transition, but this team persevered to get to the Stanley Cup final.
They understood it. And I think one of the things that happened, our general manager here hasn't received enough credit for everything that he's done. I think he's added great pieces every season. And last year was addition by subtraction, excuse me. And what he did is Barry was kind of always went with the veteran guys. The year before, injured players were in the lineup. You didn't have young guys. You didn't have speed in there. And a lot of great players. Justin Williams, you look at Daniel Winnick, but he cleaned house with a lot of people. So you have 6 rookies in the lineup every night. It forced Barry's hand to play the young guys. When he called players up, they had to be used. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't waste what they had here.
Was that a point of conflict between the two early in the season?
I believe it was. The fact that players weren't getting scratched in the playoffs, and when players were hurt, Ovi, I thought, probably should have missed a couple games the year before, and you got to have some balls to do that as a coach. We saw Pittsburgh do it time and time again, and that's how we got to get these household names, unfortunately. In D.C., we know everyone on their roster, and I just look at putting the young guys in, and all of a sudden, everyone got behind the captain. Everyone started doing their part, and I thought Ovi's leadership last year was very reminiscent of Mark Messier's. And I just felt like all the kids got in line. They idolized him. They did what he was doing. And that to me, the game, the Stanley Cup was won the second game against Columbus in the third period, even though the Caps lost that game, because Ovi came out on fire. He threw a hit at center ice on Pierre-Luc Dubois. He went flying. I think he had 7 shots. He played 11 minutes that period. I think he had 6 or 7 hits in the third period. After the game, he was so defiant that we are going to win the series in 6 games. We're coming back here. We're going to win the 6. And it was amazing from that point on how they stuck together and there was a belief around them.
I wanted to ask you about the goalie situation. You talked about Holtby and how you always felt like he was kind of disrespected and taking shots. That was a key storyline, the way that goalie position was handled down the stretch, the flipping and then Grubauer starting, et cetera. In hindsight, the way it plays out, do you have any qualms with the way they tried to manage that? It worked out perfectly at the end of the day.
No, it didn't. You know what? Kind of gave Braden, he didn't like it at the time, but he went back. He came back a better goalie because I remember the same third period that I just talked about. Mm-hmm. He came back on between the benches, and all of a sudden he's got his shoulder up in the top corners on the angle shots, and his face is there. Well, those shots were going in on Grubauer. All of a sudden, Holtby looked like he was about 6 foot six. He looked like that goalie in the beer commercial, the big sumo goalie in net. He looked that big in there. And I think there were some tweaks to his game. His attitude was better. He was cleaned out. It was kind of a mental health break more than anything. And I look back, it played out perfectly. He didn't have the same amount of pressure. They weren't going to go back to Grubauer no matter what.
Yeah. Right.
Because in my opinion, he failed in those two games because he was getting torched up top.
Right. What's going to change? Something's got to change between Barry and Todd, right? I mean, I know there's a smooth transition, but they have different philosophies. So what do you think changes with Todd Reirden?
Well, the biggest, he's not going to change. If he's smart, you know, a lot of assistant coaches, they come in and they're the good guy. They're always the other, you know, they say kind of the opposite of what the coach does sometimes, or they smooth you out. They get, you know, the shoulder rub and all
that. They're closer to the players coming in.
But he's going to remain who he is. He's big on communication. The players are going to need that. They don't need to be beat up. They don't need to, and I'm not saying Barry did that, but I just think he's got a great way of communicating.
Mm-hmm.
And the players, you know, he's been spoon-feeding them since they got here. Look how many players improved. John Carlson didn't become the best defenseman in the league, in my opinion, last year just on his own. Todd had a lot to do with the teaching since he's been here in those first 4 years.
So you think the X's and O's stay the same?
Pretty much. They're going to have to alter some things. They can't go out and just play what they did in the playoffs all season long. They're still going to have to try other things because it's a copycat league. Teams kind of know what they're doing, but, you know, they executed so well. They got better and better, in my opinion, every series.
Where do you think they rank preseason? I guess Vegas is the odds-on favorite.
That's what I saw.
On the power rankings.
Yeah.
You find that. I see you smirking a little bit that Vegas is the favorite.
Where
I
do
like
you
that.
Where do you see the Caps right now in the power rankings?
They're going to be a top 10 team. Everyone's going to be gunning for them. That's the different thing. Before, you always had Ovi, and everyone was ready to play Ovi. The arenas are packed because of Ovi. But now, they're going to be Stanley Cup champions, and you always play your best. The worst teams in the league, they're going to bring their A game for one night against the Caps, and the Caps have to face that. So they're going to be a top 10 team. I don't think they're going to be first place overall.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if they do, because I think Kuznetsov is going to kill it this year, and he better be at the end of the season, after he showed us how great he is, and I've always believed that he should be in that top three scoring with Connor McDavid and, say, Sidney Crosby, a couple other guys, but I think Kuzi's got to be there from day one.
What is it about the playoffs that some guys turn it up, as we talked to Alan May from NBC Sports Washington? I mean, we're going to talk to Devontae Smith-Pelly at 9 o'clock. 7 goals in the regular season, then he just turns it up in the postseason. You talked about Kuzi. What is it about? Is it just fluky, or is it that some guys actually do turn it up in the playoffs?
You shut down your personal life, and you're so dialed in, and it's every game is your last game. You've got to put everything into every shift. So that the intensity, when you realize it, and there's a desperation in players, and you know, I used to have butterflies, you know, the day before the game, then all game, my body was in overdrive. And I know I see DSP and the way he plays, you could tell it's the same thing because he never skated faster. You look at his speed in the playoffs, and I just think guys, they shut out all the clutter. When you're in a good mental space, you just get after it. And that's what they did last year. You know, for the most part, they were pretty healthy, but these guys just went as hard as they could.
And another guy that did that was Lars Eller. I mean, he saved them in the Columbus series. I believe it was double overtime. He gets the game winner. And then he gets the game winner against the Golden Knights to clinch the cup. I mean, that's another guy who just came out of nowhere to give that extra offensive burst to help the Caps win the cup finally.
Well, they were finding solutions for the first time in years. And in the past, there was always an excuse. There was always something short.
Always the Lars Eller on the other team.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
And it was. And guys, and so whatever was going on in that room, whoever, I don't know who was in there, but there was more to it than just the coaching staff. There was someone getting these guys in the right mental space so they could go out there and execute and work as hard as they could and just believe that they could do the impossible, which was win the Stanley Cup.
Isn't this a good mix, though, with the veterans and the young guys? You talked about all the rookies that played last year, and you factor in Ovi and Backstrom and Orlov and those guys, you know, Oshie, and then you mix those guys in with the young guys who got invaluable experience last year. I mean, it seems like it's a good mix this year.
Well, they understand now, you know, that you have a leadership, and Ovi's leadership was outstanding, but there's other players in there. But guys realize you don't have guys that are bucking the system and think they're more than they are. Everyone's got to understand their role. And when you have these young guys and they know their place, but they can't play bad. One thing that they weren't allowed to do, it wasn't accepted that they could suck, for lack of a better word, mm-hmm. that they had to go out there and do things. Everyone had to contribute, and to have that now, to have all these guys understanding this is how a team really operates, how it really functions, everything that goes with it. I just think that they, the winner's attitude, the champion's attitude, they all know what it is now. Because instead of just having one Stanley Cup, former Stanley Cup champion, and Brooks Orpik, they're now going to have, on opening night, they're going to have 18 of them.
So out of the young guys, you know, the Vranas, you mentioned Kuzi, even though he's not young anymore. I don't know. How old is Kuzi now?
Probably 26 or 27,
so,
I would guess.
Maybe throw him in there. So you already mentioned that he's going to be a superstar. Like the Boyds, the Stevensons, the Vranas. Well, who do you expect to really kind of break out of those young guys?
I think Vrana more than anyone, because he's got such great speed, and he looks so good in the playoffs. He looked more confident as time went on. He's got the jets, and it's just a matter. He now understands, too, all those things without the puck that I don't think he certainly didn't understand his first few training camps. Last year, he was still, you know, you don't want to call it immature. He just wasn't confident in what he was doing. And as it went on in the playoffs, they understood how much all those little details of the game meant. A shot block, a puck battle on the boards, just flipping a puck out of your defensive zone. They all know that now, and so he knows when to turn it on. He's not just going 100 miles an hour wasting ice and wasting energy. He now knows when to go. So I think he's going to really go next level.
He's one of the guys that got after it this summer, at least early in the summer, which was fun, and it was awesome to see. I remember joking at the time. I was like, man, some of these guys are going to come into camp fat because they're just drinking so much. What have you seen? Should Caps fans be worried about a sluggish start?
No, I don't think so. I was surprised because when I saw TJ Oshie playing the golf tournament in Lake Tahoe, the celebrity golf tournament, I was expecting TJ maybe to have a little bit of a beer belly or something like that. And there he was, thin as could be, and stroking the
looked ripped.
The goal. Yeah, he looked great. And the same thing, Ovi started his training regimen a lot early. He got that the South Beach where son was born, where child was born, and they he was started skating. It looked like earlier, or maybe because he was skating with at the Panthers ice den, that we got to see him skate earlier than we know he normally does. So I just think that the guys understood. It's such a great feeling, but believe me, they all wanted their summer to end and get back here as quick as they could.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got more, right?
You guys that's the opposite of the junkies.
What?
They wanted their summer to end so they get back to work.
No, we need more vacation, Alan.
We never want to go back to work.
Alan Mays with us from NBC Sports Watch. We're broadcasting live from MedStar Capital's Iceplex.
Got to tell you, September is Virginia Spirits Month and the perfect time to visit KO Distilling, the newest addition to their Bare Knuckle portfolio, boys. Bare Knuckle American Whiskey. Alan likes whiskey. Bare Knuckle American Whiskey. It's going to be available at KO Distillery Saturday, September 22nd, aged for only one day in the barrel. Bare Knuckle American Whiskey keeps its great right off the still taste. For more on KO Distilling September events, including free tours every Sunday. But you got to tell them the Bish sent you. All right, that's big for me. Hooked me a little bit. Visit KODistilling.com or check them out on Facebook. And remember, always drink KO responsibly. More with our good friend Alan when we come back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, broadcasting live from the MedStar Capital's Iceplex. It is a Redskins Friday on the Sports Junkies, presented by the one and only sportsbook, Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. Alan May, what's your vibe on the Redskins after 1 week?
Ooh, let's pick
did they win
brain.
The Super Bowl?
They did not.
there's a couple.
But you're like a cynical Cowboys fan too, right? Aren't you?
I don't like the Cowboys. I do not.
Okay, maybe you've just hammered the Cowboys over the years. I forget some of the conversations.
Are you a football fan?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
So, and not as much as I used to be, because it seems once hockey season starts now, it's a 24-hour news cycle, and there's just so much the garbage information that's out there. And then I'm addicted to watching games, and there's certain broadcasters I don't want to listen to in the NFL, and there's other guys that I like.
Who irritates you?
Yeah, call them out.
Get some one or
well,
two.
Well, actually, I really like Troy Aikman, and I think I've told you guys that. I never liked him when he played, though, because I always felt like he was bitter in every interview. He was always somewhat contentious. And I remember years ago, I was watching an NFL Europe game, and
wow, you're bored.
You must have.
I was buying furniture, and I was sitting there, and I go, wow, this guy's really good. He's calling every play before it happens, and it was Troy Aikman, so he kind of won me over. But I'd go with just the guys I like.
Are you a Romo guy? You like listening to Romo?
I don't mind him, and I didn't like him as a quarterback because I always found he found the perfect way to lose all the time.
Right.
And right from day one. And I just, his enthusiasm
He's
is
got a
there.
Lot of energy.
Yeah, I don't mind that, though, because some of the guys are a little too, like, we're Daryl Johnson, on the other hand. I like the person. I know him. And but his broadcasting style, it kind of
Well, have
puts
you caught the new Monday Night Football crew with the, what is it,
Jason Witten
and Jason Witten? I mean, it's so boring. I mean, God bless those guys, but it's just
really
boring.
It's weird how they do it. It was distracting the other night because it's all of a sudden one guy's talking and the other guy, well, you get this 10 minutes, you get this 10 minutes. It was very distracting the other night.
What is, we always talk about D.C. being a bad sports town. Now, with the Capitals run, it was amazing. We were part of the parade. That was great.
It's a bandwagon
town. But what's it like versus Dallas? You know, with the Redskins, for example, for years and years, because they have been mediocre, we've been doing the show now for over 20 years, people say, oh, you guys just love bashing the team, but the team has sucked. What's it like in Dallas with the Cowboys?
They're always popular. They've got their fan base, but they don't get talked about unless they're winning. And
really?
People don't complain all day long. Maybe it's too hot all the time. Mm. But it's not like that. But when they're winning, you see the Cowboys gear everywhere.
How does it rate as a sports town? Like, compare it to D.C.
I think they're with you when you win. That's about
so
it.
So similar.
No, but you know what? People are very passionate here.
Big time college football.
They've had a lot of...
So you feel like there's more passion in D.C., actually. Oh, D.C. gets a bum rap.
They're very passionate here. For most of the sports, the arenas or stadiums are pretty much packed, win or lose. And they've supported the Redskins in a lot of bad seasons. And people, they still believe, kind of like those original Caps fans, believe that one day they'd get themselves a cup. And
yep, it finally happened.
And, I remember being here in the Redskins' heyday, and I thought it was amazing. And, and it was fun to be around. Yeah. And, it took some of the heat off of us when they were doing well, with the hockey team. So I want all the local sports teams to do well when you're working somewhere, living somewhere.
Right.
It just makes for a better environment. You don't have to listen to people piss and moan all day long.
Right.
So, Alan, did you get a chance to do a keg stand out of the Stanley Cup before that practice has basically been banned at this point because the Caps were partying so hard with the cup, they basically damaged it, bent it a bit, and I think it's Phil Pritchard, who's one of the guys who travels around with the Stanley Cup, is basically saying, no more keg stands, fellas. You took it too far. We have to rein it back in a little bit.
No, I didn't do out of that, but we did a lot of keg stands the day of the parade. It was amazing. We had a contest at the Penn Quarter Sports Tavern, and it was I won, by the way.
Very good. Who was second place?
Clap him up.
Haley Skrupa, the Olympic hockey player that worked with us in the playoffs last year, she could drink.
And, really?
So she went the first time. So I had to better her on everything, but also weigh twice as much as she
does.
Right.
Who was dead last? Like, who couldn't hang at all?
I think maybe Tarek. Tarek El-Bashir, I think he was pretty soft in it.
He went down.
I see that Jenks from NBC Sports Washington is planning a chug-off. I don't know who's going to be involved in that, but certainly not me. Sounds like you might be able for might be running. I don't know exactly.
That should be televised.
I think it's a standing offer on
Since he started doing what he was doing in the playoffs last year, and then his show, it seems like he drinks an awful lot now.
Yeah.
And there may be an intervention.
maybe before.
So
the
was that the best?
Happens.
Was that the best party? Stories, best party night was the day that they won.
I thought the greatest day in D.C. ever was was the parade day. Was the happiest and most content I saw people. There were people from every walk of life walking around.
I was plenty happy. I had to call my wife and say, I'm not coming home. I'm spending the night at the station. I'm in no condition to drive home.
He was hammered.
It was a long day.
People weren't complaining. No one was arrested. That was one of the great things about the Stanley Cup run and all the people being at Capital One Arena. I thought everyone handled themselves very well, because you saw what happened in Philly when they won the Super Bowl. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
But I thought the parade day was just outstanding.
It was amazing. It was amazing to see that build for the watch parties, because I brought my daughter to the Stanley Cup Final Game 1, and, you know, you could just kind of stroll in and grab a seat. But then as it grew and grew, you saw people waiting outside, you know, 30,000, 50,000 people outside in the streets trying to get into Capital One. And that spillover, that overflow, and just the fact that people were civil with each other, having a good time and not flipping over cars and looting businesses. It was great to see.
Well, people forgot about politics for quite a while. And, you know, everyone seems like they're arguing. I don't do social media at all, except for my Twitter account. And I'm not going to get on that till work starts. But you just get tired of the noise. And this was a chance for everyone to zone out and be happy. And, you know, it was so fun, and that you want to see them hoist the cup, but the run was so fun. And then, you know, just everything that went with parade day, that first weekend of the players partying, and you get to the parade, and man, everyone was on a high around town. I think everyone was just
happy.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
By the way, Alan May's gonna get a ring, right? You're gonna get a ring, right?
Everybody's getting a ring. Like,
I think we get rings.
I work for NBC Sports, not Monumental.
I thought you got one. Oh, that's a dagger.
Yeah,
I apologize.
JP, good job.
Good job, JP.
Well, I should.
Way to make it awkward.
Maybe they'll hook you.
It is a 10.5, though.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Let them know.
Maybe they'll hook you up anyway.
So will Joe B get a ring? He won't get one?
He probably will.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
take all the broadcasts.
I'm just playing dumb right now.
Yeah.
It's all about the players getting their rings first and foremost. So that's the big thing now.
True.
It's a pretty special moment. I can't wait to see. We should be able to see those in 2 weeks, I think. Usually they hand them out before the opening night. And it'll be, I'd say, October 1st, they're probably going to have something. I'm just guesstimating, but I can't wait to see what it looks like.
Would you expect first 10 games more of a letdown, or would you be shocked if they just came out on fire?
This is Jason's betting angle. He's looking for info right now. By the way, Alan, I don't know if you heard this. We do a daily Bish's best
Go
bet
ahead,
segment.
Just hammer it home.
Do you know what his record is through 8 games?
Beat a dead horse.
What would your guess be?
Are you 0-8?
1-7.
Close. 1-7.
The problem.
Not happy about it.
That just means you're about to rally. It's okay.
So basically, the first month of the season is 10 games.
Yep.
And they've got Vegas in here. I think they're going to have a nice record after the first 10. I think probably the toughest game will be Pittsburgh the next night, the game in Toronto, because they're kind of like the Cowboys and the Skins. They win a game and they win the cup or the championship. So Toronto got a big free agent fish this summer. And it sounds like in Toronto they've won the Stanley Cup already. So last year, sarcastically, I always called them the Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah, I encountered a Washington Capitals hater within the last 2 weeks who claimed that the reason the Caps won the Cup was because of, now these guys played big roles, was solely because of Holtby and Tom Wilson. Shocker, he's Canadian, doesn't want to give any love to Ovi or Kuzi or any other guys not from Canada on the team. So I just pointed to the Stanley Cup Champions logo here.
Is Washington on paper, like top to bottom, better than Pittsburgh this year?
You know, I don't like Pittsburgh's defense, what they've done over the last few years, and they've let some key players go. I would say that with the guys here, the way they played that top four, the Kempney trade last year was phenomenal for the Caps, and he and John Carlson were perfect together. I'd have to say the Caps have a better defense right now, and because they're younger, and I just think they now understand how they have to play
And a nice move by McClellan to bring Brooks Orpik back on the reduced salary after the Grubauer
trade. Like I said, he's a genius how he does this, because we all knew that contract was going to be an albatross, and you find a team like Carolina or Colorado that's going to take on those dollars so they don't have to pay anybody for real. So it's weird how they work the salary cap there.
So they basically bring everybody back but Beagle, right? So is there any chance maybe they'll be too complacent, though? You know what I mean? It's like the same crew. Maybe we need some new blood to keep things pushing.
Well,
do you like the makeup? How do the roles change?
The roles stay pretty much the same, except I think they expect more out of players like Verana, Burakovsky, those other guys. They've got to do their part. And then some, you know, Nicky Backstrom's in his 30s and Ovi's in his 30s. Other players got to start bringing more all the time. Like Tom Wilson got paid to bring more. So he's got to continue to have a regular season like he had in those playoffs. So the development for the young players, they still have to improve all the time. Will they be complacent? I can't see it. They've got a lot of practice time at the start of the year, so they'll catch up a little bit of their training that they lost over the course of the summer. And like I said, everyone's gunning for them, but they do play some bad teams in the first month, so teams that were bad last year. And they should be able to work on their systems.
The home ice is going to be the arena is going to be on fire at the beginning of the season.
I can't wait for opening night. That'll be amazing. It'll be phenomenal to see the banner getting lifted and just the fans are going to let loose. And you remember that game?
Did they take about down the Cakes always joke that they would put up division banners. When you finally put up a Stanley Cup champion banner, do you take down the
banners? No, you keep the division banners, but they
this is going to be a
lower.
Monster. This one's going to be way bigger.
Right.
And all
so
the
big.
Other and all the other arenas. It's the big daddy. This thing is bigger than everything in the building.
Right. You know, with bringing Orpik back, does he still have the same role though, even at the reduced salary?
He's still going to mentor. He's not going to change. The coach
still get the same minutes?
Pretty much. And you know, he's going to get key minutes. And, you know, maybe this year they platoon him with Bowie and Juice and, you know, that third pairing. And maybe not play him on back-to-back games, especially on the road, things like that. And I know that'll upset him because he's the guy that brings it. Look at last year in the playoffs.
He had
his finger cut off in the finals, had it sewed back on, and he was on the ice the next morning at practice. And, you know, he wants to play every minute. And I'm sure last year he was upset about the amount.
I think you've told us in the past, what's the craziest thing you did to get back on the ice with an injury?
I had a separated shoulder, and I separated on a Wednesday night. And we had a game on Saturday, and I went into the coach's office and told him I was all right. And he goes, lift your shoulder. So I raised my right arm, and it was my left shoulder. And I went out there, and the way I played, he going after the game, and he goes, lift your left shoulder, and I couldn't get it out of my head. But you just want to play. And then when you get older, in a playoffs, you suck it up. But as you get older, you realize you're hurting your career by playing injured.
Yeah.
Who was the kid last year they brought up late? He was flying around the ice. Who was that? Was that Walker?
Nathan Walker.
Nate Walker, the Australian?
Yeah. Does he have a shot at making?
Yeah, he does. He's very versatile. He has to kill penalties. They have to have a different complement of players kill penalties. Alex Chiasson's not going to be here. He was on the roster 60 games last year, played some playoff games. But he penalty killed, and one of the reasons that Walker didn't get a jersey all the time is Barry Trotz said he doesn't kill penalties. Well, that was the fault of the Hershey Bears, and that's probably why they have a new coaching staff. They weren't teaching these players how to play in all different roles, and I think Nate is one of those guys.
So he's got a shot.
He's lightning fast. You remember the play he made for the Chiasson goal, Game 6 in Pittsburgh?
Yep.
Basically the goal that won that game. It took the air out of the building and gave the Caps so much confidence. It was his speed and tenacity, the nice pass that he made. So that was a key moment and something that he can look back on and know that he played an NHL playoff game, played very well. They didn't hide him. They played those guys regularly, so he has to come in here with the mindset that he can play on that fourth line.
Is Copley ready to be Holtby's primary backup?
That remains to be seen because he hasn't played enough NHL games yet. And then, you know, they kind of spoon-fed Grubauer in the past, his record, I felt. And then last year he had a lot more difficult starts. I think Copley they'll have to handle with kid gloves for a while, get his confidence, and work with the goaltending coaches here on a regular basis. He's been hurt a lot over his career, so I don't think you have to worry too much about who your backup goalie is when you got Braden Holtby as the lead horse.
That's Alan May, NBC Sports Washington.
Good stuff.
Thanks,
bro.
As
Thank
always
you,
for stopping by.
Thanks guys.
Buddy.
Coming up next, it's Fridays with Feinstein on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.